Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Dan Lynch joins me. We're going to talk about a surveying program for your Android phone. You can put down spots, you can put pictures, and you can make notes. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Dan Lynch. Episode 325, recorded February 11th, 2015. Geo Paparazzi. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, libre, open-source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at StoneEngine.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects you may be using every day, the little projects that you might not have heard of, but hey, maybe you want to download it right after the show and go play with it. That's the good thing about open source, is you can do that sort of stuff. This week, Dan Lynch rejoins me to be the co-host. Welcome back, Dan.
Hey, it's good to be back. How are we doing?
And you're speaking to us from the usual secret bunker in Liverpool?
Sorry, yes. Yeah, I'm in my top secret bunker in Liverpool, in the UK. In case anyone doesn't know, that is the same Liverpool that the Beatles come from. That's why I sound like this. I can do a very convincing Beatles accent.
There you go. And I'm very sad. I'm very sad to hear the last episode of Linux Outlaws is in the can. I actually listened to it, I think, the other day. I'm about 2 weeks behind. But congratulations on running that show for so long.
Thank you. Yeah, 7 years and change, I think it was in the end. So impressive. Yeah, I'll be pleased. I'm impressed if you got through the whole show because it was like 3 hours our last show.
Oh my God! Yes,
good work.
Yes,
it was.
I don't normally listen to shows that are 3 hours, but I really, you know, based on our relationship from doing this show, I really wanted to make sure that I heard every little bit of the tributes and everything. It was a really awesome show. So, you got plans for stuff coming up?
Yeah. Well, I'm working on, obviously, I'm here with Floss Weekly. I'm producing a show called Free As in Freedom, which is from the Software Freedom Conservancy. And possibly a new show coming later in the year. So stay tuned for that.
And those of you that are watching the video, you can see that once again, I'm in the ZipRecruiter office in downtown Santa Monica and love the wonderful green tree behind me. That I love the backdrop for this. And the light's usually pretty good and the bandwidth is awesome. So, but enough about us. We have a great show today. We have on the Geo Paparazzi Project, and hopefully not mispronouncing the name here, being represented by Andrea Antonello, who's going to be talking to us about this thing. Now, what I've been able to determine by staring at this thing for a while, I did about 30 minutes of research this morning, with the only maximum amount I ever allow myself for these kinds of things. Is it looks like an Android app that captures all sorts of things about geolocation. So, for example, you can put a note that this is, this is here. The thing I thought was the most amazing, though, is you can take pictures, and not only does it record the GPS location, but also the orientation of the picture. So when you get back to kind of assemble all that, you can go, well, this is a picture from the southwest from that spot, and assemble, hopefully there's some sort of nice application that can bring that all together to bring it up. Also do things like OpenStreetMap editing and that sort of thing. Did you get a chance to dig this up, I should say, before the show?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say hunt it down with it being a map program now.
That's perfect.
Yeah, okay. I've been having a little look at it. I can't claim to be an expert, but I'm really interested in, as you said, the kind of OpenStreetMap links for this, because reporting data and mapping and so on, obviously that's what OpenStreetMap lives on. That's what it survives on, is contributions from people, from us, from all of us. So anything that makes that easier and more accurate and smoother is definitely a good thing. Obviously, that's only a small part of it. But yeah, it looks really, really interesting. Can't wait to hear more.
Very good. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and bring on our guest, Andrea Antonello. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hey, and where are you speaking to us from?
I'm in my very own bunker in the northern part of Italy. I'm in near Merano, let's say. I just closed the windows because there's a beautiful sun still, and it was kind of shaking up the image. So you will have to bear with me and this fans behind me.
Now, I think you have set a record. I think you're our first guest who, I think, are we actually speaking to you on your Android?
No. What do you mean?
You have a mobile device? Aren't we speaking to you on your mobile device?
Yes, definitely. let's not talk about the last 20 minutes where I started to really sweat. And you see just my upper part, but I left I put away my trousers because just to get a bit more.
Very good.
But it seems to work quite okay from the phone. Luckily, now phones support this.
Yes, very good. Very good. Awesome. Okay, well, let's go ahead. I sort of gave what I thought this project is about, but I'm sure you're much more familiar with it. So can you give us sort of the 30,000-foot view, the high-level view, and what problems you're trying to solve with this project?
I have to admit, I'm very happy to see what you just said as a small initial wrap-up is is very precise. It started though with a different perspective. In fact, it's kind of a hybrid application. It is an application for Android, as you said, and I would like to underline that it's freely available from the Google Play, obviously. But we also have packages you can download from the main website, because we have reports from users in certain countries where Google Play is not accessible. So they can just download it from the website. So basically, the application has been born as an engineering application. I work for an engineering company, but it changed over time, or let's say it had a kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, two sides to the story. And let's give a short idea about both. If you open up Joe Paparazzi, you install it, open it up, you will have two main views. One is a dashboard view where you have all the nice buttons, or the few buttons, because it needs to be very simple, with the main operations. And then there is a map view, which is the really interesting one, which is the view where users will stroll on which you can view your position and overlay additional informations. So perspective one is the perspective of any user that uses it more for touristic purposes and as a geo diary. As you outlined before, you can put notes of, yes, I'm here, or this restaurant was really good, and just to share it with other persons. You can also put pictures, and you could also put sketches as points of interest over the map. The real good part is that we are able to use offline maps. So the OpenStreetMap projects and the MapsForge projects, maybe we'll talk a little bit about it later, supplies a vector format that can be used offline. And it's possible to have, let's say, the whole of Italy or Germany in half a gigabyte. So you can have really a whole country or more than one country on your phone, and you can use it from everywhere in offline mode, which is really, really cool, because I don't know about you there, but here it's kind of like developing country. If you start to go countryside, you really lose connection. So you can put notes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just go on. If you want to interrupt me, just ask.
No problem.
That's cool with us.
Yes.
Okay, so a part of these notes, these points, you can also log your position, not really your position, but your trip. So it will create a line of all the GPS positions you go through, and so you can really keep log of your trip. But another thing is very nice. You can prepare your trip before you start. So through some geocoding functions that are available inside Joe Paparazzi, you can insert your points of interest and also connect lines, let's say, following the roads from one place to the other. Hence, kind of use it in navigation mode afterwards. And the part that in the latest release came in was due to the fact that some users were using it more for tourist application, we added some button to share position, data, pictures, and those kind of stuff in social networks. One very important thing, in my opinion, if you go out in the countryside, is also the fact that you can not only share stuff through internet, to a network connection, but you can also use SMS. So you are able to send your position to another device via SMS, which is sent through a GeoSMS, a standard format, which can then be opened with various applications. And obviously in Joe Paparazzi, it can be opened and it will place a nice star on your map and show you the incoming, the position of the incoming message. And last but not least, and this is a feature that is okay for both professional and non-professional use, there is a nice, huge, bold panic button. It's very red on the bottom of the dashboard. You can just open up the slider and you will find this bold button. If you put in your settings a phone number or more than one phone number that you want to be advised of your position once you get in trouble, you do that in your setting, and from everywhere you can just very quickly push the panic button. It will send a request for help to the people with the devices referring to the numbers that you have in your settings. So this, I think, is very nice. We did this because my colleague walks out in the mountains alone, and it's important to be on the safe side. So to close up, a typical use of Joe Paparazzi as a tourist application is really to prepare your tracks at home. You start for a holiday. My parents use it for when they go out for trekking for a week. They prepare all their nice treks from one place to the other, and they even take the hotels, the coordinate of the hotels from the booking websites. My mother even wrote once, they came to a hotel and the hotel was a bit out of the given coordinate, and she opened up an issue on booking.com that they were supplying wrong coordinates. That was kind of cool.
Okay. Well, it's been great having you on. I'll see you again next week. No. That's a great answer. Thank you for the... We hosts really like it when the guests deliver most of what we need to ask. This is great. But I have a couple points I wanted to highlight in there. I use a commercial program called MotionX GPS on my iPhone, which is really handy because it do both GPX tracking, but it also lets me download OpenStreetMap stuff so that, I do a lot of cruising, so I'm often in countries that don't have either good coverage or I don't have a data plan there. And so I used to be a little scared just sort of wandering off the ship and wandering around the city because I didn't know if I could ever find my way back. But now, of course, I download the map. I turn on the tracking, which I can then see on the map. It draws a line on the map, and I can get track, and I can just sort of wander off in the city. And I know that I can always get back the very way I came, but I can also work out a parallel track on the way back so that I can see more of the city. It sounds like this would work pretty well for that as well.
Yes, definitely. There is something more even. You can download these offline maps, but you can also create custom maps, which is quite important, maybe more important sometimes for professional use. You can, those maps as we see them are really small tiles that are downloaded from the internet and put placed together again on your screen, and they make up the map. And those tiles can be remotely downloaded from OpenStreetMap, but it could be also a WMS server, which is the current web mapping, most famous web mapping standard protocol. But you can also, if you are a professional that uses GIS, geographic information systems, you can stitch together several different overlays of maps, vector and raster maps. You can put orthophotos, you can put technical maps, you can put together even historical maps. Whatever image you have that has a reference, through your GIS, we supply also tools to create these background maps. You can just run those, and you then have a small database that you can use as background maps. So it's really those maps, Forge maps, if that's not enough and you want something custom, you can do that. And there is also vector maps you can put over the background maps. I don't know if you know Spatial Light. It's like spatial extension for SQLite. Joe Paparazzi supports that one for vector maps. So you can have your lines, points, or polygons with the attributes and labels. So this is all of the different data types as background, so not what you're going to survey, but what you use as a reference for Joe Paparazzi.
So now you've mentioned a couple times this is in the Google Play Store. I presume that means it's only for Android-style devices?
Yes. Definitely. Joe Paparazzi was born kind of like a joke, a game. It was closing up for a weekend in the dark, in the room, buying an Android book and try to develop something. And it was that easy that that Joe Paparazzi was born and then developed Farter. I tried then the same with with iOS. And after half a day, when all these segmentation folds came out, I thought, no, okay, no, I don't want to do that. So we just sticked to Android.
So you're not really a fan of Objective-C?
No, not really. I mean, not a fan. You know, when you don't know something, you don't like it.
I understand. Is this coded in, I guess most Android projects are in Java. Is this in Java?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. And you were familiar with Java before then, huh?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm working on different GIS Java projects.
Very good. And no chance of this coming to the iPhone then, huh?
Not from us. We had a request and a possibility, but you know, the difficult thing is then maintain it. It's not doing it the first time. Joe Paparazzi is a project that has really evolved a lot. It got recently some sponsorship, and it's evolving a lot. So keeping a second version, because it's natively developed for Android, so it's not one of those frameworks where you develop for the framework and it works on any platform. So it's really not simple to do that.
Yeah, we have actually.
I would welcome anyone that wants to do that. I would give support, obviously.
We have actually had a few platform producers on this show where an open source platform can actually target both iOS and Android, and I'm not sure what they do behind the scenes to make that work, but maybe they write in a third language. We also have in the chat room, Curtis B. suggests Swift. Have you looked at the Swift language instead of Objective-C?
I read about it after a while, but at that point it was a bit too late for me to try it.
Very good, very good. So one of the other things I use this Motion X GPS for is I shoot a lot of photography when I'm out on these trips, and I do geotagging of my photos. It has to be done later in a program that I run on my Mac to bring the GPX tracks together with the time-stamped photos. It has a special low-powered GPS tracking mode. Can Geo Paparazzi do that where it doesn't really work all of its stuff, it's just simply recording the track?
For this, Joe Paparazzi is not really friendly, let's say, because being born for something that you start your track, somebody can call you, you can put it in your pocket, and maybe you have to walk around a landslide or something like that for geological purposes. It's being kept constantly in GPS on mode. We tried to do the same as like Google Fit or other applications do, that do a check each 60 seconds or something like that. But when you're in the countryside or in the woods, we had big problems because the GPS was taking too long. And if you have to log really on a, let's say, relatively precise way your track, this simply didn't work. So we just stopped working on that. It's constantly logging when you switch it on.
So how does it affect like battery consumption and stuff? I'm imagining you're going to eat through the battery quite quickly on a phone or something if you're constantly logging.
Yeah, that's the nice thing, because in the first versions, which means in the first, we started this really when the first Android phones came out, and that was really impacting. But right now, with a mid-level phone, you can log for 7 hours, and you will still have battery life. Because the battery life, I think the GPS has really low consumption, but the real problem is the screen. You log 7 hours if you don't constantly look at the phone where you are, right, or pan through it. It's really much more what goes into the screen than what goes into the GPS. So we have no problems. Sure, it doesn't give you 2 days of battery, but 1 day without problems. And people that are online the whole day anyways have to charge every evening their phone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, any of us who have a smartphone, I'm sure, are familiar with that moment when you're frantically looking for a plug and to plug it in and you're panicking.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you mentioned that it can cache stuff and you can store your stuff, you know, when you're not connected and so on, and then upload it later. I'm just wondering about, like, the data and the way you store the data in the app. Is there a way that you can import and export data in and out of this and use it in other programs or do other stuff with it?
Yes. Okay. Also here, there are two levels. One level is directory in Joe Paparazza. The data that count, which means what you're surveying, your pictures, your notes, and your tracks, they are kept in one database, SQLite database, and each you can create projects. So each SQLite database is a project by itself. And you can bring that one on your computer, and if you're want to use it for professional use, there is a nice application that's called Stage that we supply, also open sourced, completely open sourced, where you can feed your database into it, and it will generate you a whole bunch of GIS compatible files, like shape files with all the attribute tables and all your forms and informations in it and the pictures. If that's not your case, which is probably 85% of the users, there are a few import and export tools. You can import tracks, for example, from GPX, which is the format that comes with Garmin. It's GPS, the most used GPS format. And you can export in GPX and it in KMZ. KMZ is really what I prefer, because inside that, if you have notes that have text and pictures, it will create you a nice pin on, if you look at, let's say, on Google Earth, it will create a nice pin with a HTML table containing everything, nice formatted. So it's more a toy format, let's say, but it's the most complete KMZ for what you can export directly from Joe Paparazzi.
Yeah, that sounds really excellent. So you've really got that portability of data and so on, which is great. I've got I'm doing in best Leo tradition. I'm installing this on my phone as we're talking, which he used to do a lot, installing stuff as you interview the person. I was just curious, when I search for Geo Paparazzi in my Android store, sorry, Play Store, I get two results. I get Geo Paparazzi and Geo Paparazzi 3, and I'm not sure what the difference is because they're both from the same publisher. So what's the difference and which one would I want to install?
Okay, yeah, it depends, because Joe Paparazzi 4, one is represents Joe Paparazzi 3, the tree version, and one the Joe Paparazzi 4. So what happened was that a short time ago, the Natural Heritage from New York, they sponsored a set of developments for Joe Paparazzi, which is a polygon editing and attributes introduction for vector maps in spatial light. And when we did this part of the development, we also passed from having the projects being folder-based, so you had your folder with a database and the images in it, to be a single file project. During this migration, we lost one very important functionality, which is the support for OpenStreetMap, points of interest in search. So we had no resources to do that at that point. And to keep backward compatibility, we decided to keep and maintain also Joe Paparazzi 3 version for those people that were more interested in OpenStreetMap data collection. So if you want to do OpenStreetMap data collection, you want to use Joe Paparazzi 3. Otherwise, it's definitely better to stick with the 4, with the one without the 3, let's say.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned that you didn't have the resources at the time to do the OpenStreetMap stuff in version 4. So is there any plans to try and bring that in later on, maybe merge them together? Because I imagine maintaining two code bases is a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, definitely. Let's say the tree version is getting just bug fixes right now. And it was working like that. In Joe Paparazzi, we have the whole pile of OpenStreetMap symbologies. And I was working with a person from the community which was supplying a server that was doing proxy. So Joe Paparazzi was sending OpenStreetMap informations there, and they would be uploaded. The problem, the real problem, is that the data, the format of the nodes to create complex forms and data structures changed, and that part didn't get on the train. So we are trying to meet up and do that. It's definitely something we want to have in Joe Paparazzi 4. It's absolutely.
Yeah. I was just curious about how much that kind of, because when I was looking at this earlier, I mean, I was really interested in it. I was thinking, oh, that looks really cool. And then as soon as I saw OpenStreetMap, I thought, ah, all of a sudden this has got real, you know, application for me, because I might want to help to contribute to OpenStreetMap. So how much does that drive the popularity of the app? I'm just curious, or is that just a side thing to a lot of people?
I think it's just a side thing. Okay. Because I'm in contact with some people of the community that told me that they use it. So we made this development. But I think Joe Paparazzi is more used for professional use, like forestry applications, biological surveys, or things like those. So I don't think, I also hoped in a push from that side, but it didn't happen really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's anyway something I would like to maintain, because I really love the OpenStreetMap project, so it's important to have.
Excellent.
It.
Yeah. I'm curious that, I mean, obviously you're working really hard on this. I'm assuming you're not working alone on it. How many people work? How many developers are kind of contributing and working on the project?
Yeah, that's something I hope will change after this interview, because we are really few people. So I'm trying really to spread word, because it's gaining popularity, but we are not drawing the attention of developers. It's more users. Right now, it's just me and another guy, Mark Johnson, that works. I'm very happy he jumped on the boat, that works on the spatial light side. He's keeping Joe Paparazzi updated with each coming specialized version. And recently there have been a couple of pull requests and code contributions from another person outside, from the New York Heritage Program. And I really hope we're getting some critical mass slowly.
I was just curious. You said Mark Johnson. I know a guy from Oxford who's an open source developer called Mark Johnson. I'm guessing it's probably not the same guy, but you never know. It's a small world. so it's possible. You mentioned before about things like about using it to send out even like distress calls and stuff. And I believe you've had some kind of real life situations where this has actually impossibly saved people's lives. Can you tell us a little bit about that side of things?
That's kind of cool, because it came in from a user from the community. He was talking about, he was part of a rescue team, and they had been called to aid in a situation in which a tractor had tilted and the driver was left squeezed with a leg under the tractor. And when the rescue helicopter arrived near the place, the radio was not working because they were in the mountains. And they didn't know how to signal the position to get the guy. And so this person popped up Joe Paparazzi, and in a bunch of minutes with the map showing also the heights, the levels, the ISO levels, he found in a minute a suitable place on which the helicopter could land. So he sent the coordinates of that place to the headquarters, and the headquarters were able to contact the chopper, send the coordinates, and indeed they were able to land there and on the spot signaled, and everything went well. Obviously, this could have been any other application, but I have to admit that I was extremely proud when they told me that story, and I'm happy that's a use.
Yeah, I bet.
That is a pretty amazing story. I'm really happy that when I hear stories about like this, where like, you know, something that you create is being used for something that you kind of hope someday maybe somebody will do something like that, and then it actually happens. So that's pretty cool. I'm a little curious though, actually. I'm borrowing Dan's line of being curious. I'm a little curious now.
We're always curious.
I know. About what is ultimately the goal for Geo Paparazzi? And is this just going to be a labor of love for you, or do you have some sort of profit model behind this eventually?
We developed it mainly for internal use. And our company just is like that. We just open up the projects. We are happy if people contribute. But there have been some situations where people started to sponsor. I mentioned before the New York Natural Heritage Program. Mm-hmm. And they were the first real sponsorship for Geo Paparazzi as it is. And that was extremely cool, and I was also very, very proud of that, because they previously were using Trimble Nomad on Windows mobile devices, and they decided to switch, and they strolled through some open source communities to look for some applications, and they really made a beautiful, I would almost call it a best practice approach for open source. They approached our community, strolled around a bit. Then they made an effort to understand everything very well. And then they even made a request for offer, and they had very clear ideas. So even if we were like six time zones apart, it was one of the smoothest projects to develop on. And this was a direct contribution to Geo Paparazzi. In the past, we had another project for a university here in Italy that was called Gas Droid. That was also pretty cool because they had this amazing tool. They were able to measure deadly emissions from the terrain, and they needed something to geolocalize it. I don't know if you know this. In the woods, in the countryside here, there are sometimes gas emissions that storm inside depressions. And so sometimes, typically the scenario is like that. Person goes with the dog in the woods, the dog strolls around, the dog enters a depression, the dog dies, person looks for the dog, person finds the dog, person dies. And they have this thing. So
Not a very happy situation. Rich shouldn't laugh. That's not a funny matter. Sorry.
The helicopter story was better, definitely.
Yeah, but those guys are creating measurement tools for this, and they really sponsored us. So we used the backbone, not really Geo Paparazzi, but the backbone of Geo Paparazzi to create this application for them. So this also sponsors the project itself. And yeah, then there is obviously my mother. When she went sightseeing in Barcelona, she went out for dinner and they didn't know how to get back to the hotel, and they used Geo Paparazzi and came straight to the hotel. And at that point, she didn't even know what I was doing in my life. She donated 50 euros to the project. So if you want to donate something to the project, we're here.
And are you looking for donations financially? Would it help you to maybe hire people to do the things that you're not able to do yourself? Or are you more looking for contributions in the terms of pull requests and feature requests?
Definitely. In my opinion, Geo Paparazzi should always stay a very simple application. So I don't think that it would need to big contributions. I think the small usability contributions are very important. So as a company, we always love sponsorships to do this. The work for New York was amazing, but I would also love to have pull requests and people contributing with good ideas.
Awesome. One thing I wanted to bring up, I think I saw this in your release notes. Well, first off, congratulations on getting this internationalized in at least, I think I saw about four or five languages. Was that done by volunteers?
Yeah. This one is maybe one of the most amazing things. We have now about 20 languages supported.
Wow.
A couple just came in, but at least 10 languages are always up to date. When a release comes out, they are maximum one, two strings behind, but 10 of them are as good as always translated. This is something I find extremely amazing. Yeah.
That's true. And did I also see in the release notes that you had added turn-by-turn directions through some open service? From one place to another along the streets. To get from one place to another along the streets.
Driving directions.
Yes. No, it's not really driving directions. It's you can connect to a service that's based on OpenStreetMap and will do it will do you the routing. So you can define two points and it will create a route for you. I think that's what you mean, because we don't have routing directions.
Okay. Okay. That's great. That's cool. We're almost out of time. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to make sure our audience knows about GeoPaparazzi?
I think a very important last thing is, okay, we talked about OpenStreetMap. I will also highlight the fact that the rendering engine that is behind it, it's from a project that's called MapsForge, which is really a great map rendering library, and which is right now living a second renaissance, and it might also be a good project to have here to talk about. And also Spatial Light, since I know the founder, the main developer of Spatial Light very well, it's Alessandro Furrieri. He's been president of our Italian GFOS community. And it's very important to say that also Spatial Light, that has been of big impact. Once we pulled in that that feature into GeoPaparazzi, the user community started to grow also. So I think that's kind of about it.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, I'm sorry we didn't have much more time, but we had a little bit of technical difficulties at the beginning, so we have to wrap this up pretty quick. Really want to thank you. Wait. Oh, I'm going to get yelled at if I ask my questions. What's your favorite scripting language?
Groovy.
The scripting language? It's a language. But okay, yeah, that'll work. But are you a Unix user? Do you Linux user?
Yes, Bash.
Bash, there we go. Okay, well, that'll work then too. All right, and what's your favorite programming language?
Java.
Java, okay. And wait, that's not the right question. What's your favorite text editor?
Vim.
Vim, see, I knew I wasn't going to get any of those. Well, Andrea, it's been wonderful having you on. I'm sorry we didn't get more time to chat about this. It sounds like a fascinating project. Please, somebody out there, bring this to iOS. I would love to play with it. Unfortunately, all I have are iPhones, and I'm going to get yelled at for that too because I don't have an Android phone anywhere. Oh, well. Thank you once again for coming on the show.
It's been extremely great. I could be here every week to drink a beer with you if I was there. Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. Yeah.
Bye.
I like that.
Challenge accepted. Thank you. Thanks. Yes.
Thanks. Go download GeoPaparazzi.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was Andrea Antonello speaking to us from the northern part of Italy, which I've been sort of on the eastern and western edge of that, but never actually in the center in Milan. Anyway, what'd you think there, Dan?
Yeah, I thought it was really, really interesting. And I am, Andrea will please know, I am installing it right now on my phone, and I will try it out and let you know how it goes. But yeah, fascinating tool. And I think the main thing I kind of took from that is it's such amazing what he's managed to do almost single-handedly. I know there are other people working on it now, maybe someone else contributing. But, you know, it's incredible the amount of stuff he's managed to do. And it sounds like they could really use some help with, you know, contributions in maybe not just money, but things like code and other things. So I'd encourage everyone to really help out, because it sounds like a really, really useful tool for surveys and all kinds of things. And it's saving people's lives. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, and it's also inspirational that he was able to take the Android documentation and actually create a working app in a weekend. That iOS... You couldn't get it anywhere there. Well, that's okay. That's fine. I don't care. I'm not the programmer of my phone. I'm happy to be the user of my phone. So running out of time here, so I want to go ahead and wrap up here. We've got next week, we've got Sogo, which is a groupware server with a focus on scalability and open standards, and can be a drop-in replacement, I guess, for the Microsoft sort of thingies like that. A couple weeks later, we have Moheed, which is a water modeling system. You build up your terrain, and you run water down it, and it can simulate it really accurately because it's done by people who know the math for that stuff. We've still got Docker trying to find a slot. We do have 3 slots left in Q1. I'm trying to fill those desperately. I've sent out about 70 pieces of email. We may actually have to have a canceled show sometime coming up soon. I hope not, but I'm trying my hardest to fill it all up. Twitch.tv/floss, once again, is the homepage for this show. You can find a link there to our upcoming guests. You can follow us on Floss Weekly on Google+ and Floss Weekly on Twitter, at Floss Weekly on Twitter. You can follow me at Randall L. Schwartz on Google+, which also gets mirrored over to Merlin, M-E-R-L-Y, Dan on Twitter. I'll be at Scale in February, just actually like next week. Is it next week? Hmm. Yeah, next week. Coming up real soon now. And I'm also going to be in New York City in late March. I'm looking for a meetup probably on the evenings of either March 25th or 26th. That's a Wednesday or Thursday night. I'll be in Midtown, and I'll probably meet up at Stout because it seems to be a really wonderful place to hang out there. So if you're in New York City, please watch for my Google Plus posting, things like that. Any quick things, Jan?
Just check out danlynch.org. If you're watching the video, the address is down at the bottom there. All kinds of stuff. Still lots of podcasts going on, all kinds of stuff. Keep an eye on that. You can find all of my links on there.
Very good. Well, Dan, thank you for joining me once again to be my co-host. But I hear the music, so that means we're almost out of time. We'll see you again next week on Floss Weekly.